Cliff Central is turning one, and to celebrate, we're giving away R500,000 in smartphones. R500,000 in smartphones. You could win just by listening to Cliff Central on WeChat every day during every show.
Yeah, baby. Yeah.
If you want an upgrade or you need a new smartphone, we'll hook you up. Win with Cliff Central and WeChat for the month of April and visit cliffcentral.com for details. T's and C's apply.
On radio. More of the good stuff. Cliffcentral.com.
Welcome, everyone, to Future CEOs. It's good to be with you this afternoon. Shlubi, I'm so glad you're back.
Oh, my gosh, I wasn't here last week.
You weren't here last week.
Did you miss me?
In a big, big, big way. The show suddenly is going to go from a 5 to about a 12, 12 out of 10.
I'm so happy to be here.
We've got a great show lined up, but before we go and do anything more, we need to just quickly talk about Dylan. Dylan Jenkins. Now, he is a young cerebral palsy boy, I believe, and he's turning 18 today, mm-hmm. which is a really, really remarkable
today?
Thing. Yes, so happy birthday. We're going to sing to you, by the way, Dylan. But what his family wants to do is send him on a trip around the world.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he can't make the trip physically,
mm-hmm.
but what he can do is we can take photos
yes.
of different places around the world. And today we're going to take a photo of you and me here in the studio so he can see what it looks like and experience that a little bit. And then just after we do that, we're going to sing. Yeah, you're going to be great. And then we'll go into the rest of the show. So are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, so let's quickly do this photo.
Okay.
Let me give a camera. That's always a good idea, isn't it? And then, Phoebe, why don't you sing while we're busy
together
preparing?
With our esteemed guest, which we will introduce later.
Yes, of course.
Okay, are we ready? One, two.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Dylan. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Dylan. Happy birthday to you. Hip hip hooray. Hip hip hooray. Hip hip hooray. Yay. All right, Dylan, there we go. There's your birthday, your happy birthday from the Future CEOs studio here at Cliff Central. We just, let's just organize this photo. Thank you very much. Phoebe, let's get in here.
Okay. Happy birthday, Dylan. Okay. Got it?
I got it.
Excellent. Okay, there we go. We're done.
Let's do this.
Let's talk about the show. Dylan, happy birthday. Keep on listening because I know you want to be a future CEO as well.
What does future CEOs mean? What is it all about?
Okay, so this show is really directed directly at young up-and-coming entrepreneurs and young up-and-coming executives who want to either grow their businesses or fast-track their careers.
Mm-hmm.
Today we've got a very interesting show and it relates to both. You want to introduce it, Shlubi?
Well, today we're dealing with the topic of the impact of social media on workplace productivity. And we've got great guests, fantastic guests. I love your energy. And I think we should allow them to introduce themselves.
Absolutely.
So let's start off with Lee Nike. Tell us about who you are, what you do, and how you're involved in the social media space. Lee?
So I look after Accenture digital business, uh-huh. which is all things digital.
Mm-hmm.
I've been there for about 17 years.
Mm-hmm.
And as part of the new era of technology, all things social media, analytics, mobility falls under my part of the business. And a large part of what I do is help organizations figure out how to be relevant in this digital world.
Love that. Craig.
Yes.
You want to introduce yourself?
Cool. I'm Craig Rodney from a company called Cerebra,
mm-hmm.
and we're what you would traditionally call a social media agency. So we help large corporate brands navigate the complexities of the social space.
Okay. And you're kind of a adventure freak as well, so I hear.
Yeah, I'm not afraid of a bit of travel or a bit of adrenaline.
Love that side of you. And Rengini Joseph.
Hi. I'm an academic at the University of Johannesburg in the Department of Industrial Psychology and People Management. So I bring in the HR side, the workplace productivity side. And yes, being a little bit of a technologically oriented person, I handle a lot of social media stuff for the department.
Okay, well, welcome everyone to the studio. And let's kick off this conversation with a word that we need to define. Presenteeism. Presenteeism, what is that?
So presenteeism is people being present at work. Interestingly, the way I see it, we can defer to the official HR person just now.
Yeah.
But presenteeism is being present, right? It's the opposite of absenteeism. But you can have positive presenteeism or negative. And the worry is the negative, where you have people at work when they shouldn't be, like when they're sick and they're still coming through to work.
Mm.
Alternatively, you have people at work who are there in body but not in mind.
Love that.
Renjun?
That's exactly what it is. I mean, it really technically came from people being ill and then showing up at work. And it was a big trend because of, you know, downsizing and retrenchment. People are very unsure about whether they'll be, you know, in their jobs if they decide to take off. So people just would show up. And then obviously with social media coming into the picture, it became more about, okay, if you are at work, are you really doing your work or are you busy doing other stuff like social media? So that would became what presenteeism is all about.
Lee?
I think it's actually quite a big problem. Absenteeism, which is the traditional word, is worth about $84 billion of loss in the US, right?
Wow, that's incredible.
So that's a big number. Presenteeism is actually the complete opposite. And I think there's more negative than positive to do with presenteeism. In fact, in more than a quarter of people that work in the workplace are actually accused of what we call presenteeism. And essentially it's about...
Is that due to, you know, well, the social media aspect of it?
No, I think it's less about the social media aspect. It actually gets worse with social media.
Okay.
The reality is that people are at work because they're scared of their job security, for example. Here they're in the workplace and they're physically sick and they make all of us sick as well. So that's one angle. The second thing is that because we're scared of our job loss and the further distraction of the likes of social media, it compounds this problem. Suddenly you have a workforce that on average is only 60% productive, and that doesn't help at all.
Yeah, that's an incredible amount of lost hours in a day. Anyone know the numbers? What kind of numbers are we talking about when it comes to social media in a day? How long are people spending on...
Approximately an hour in every 8 hours, according to some research that I looked at. It's basically an hour for every 8 hours. It's pretty much a lunch break.
Okay, so
basically.
Now there's two different schools of thought here. One says this is really, really bad, inappropriate. There is massive loss associated with it. The other is saying, well, no, we need social media to keep our people productive, and it actually increases production.
Mm.
What are your thoughts?
Well, I work in an organization that has in excess of 325,000 people globally across 120 countries. There's no way to physically be together, right? The organization I work for has IP and people at its center. We don't make stuff, right? And that's an important point.
Absolutely.
We have completely embraced social, both in terms of internal working platforms like Yammer and Unified Communications, as well as social media. If I have to give up social media, I'd struggle to do the work I do. Right? To know what's going on around you very, very quickly in a very intimate way, that's what social media gives us. The key thing for our organization and for most of the clients I work for is that these digital natives, these youngsters, this is how they work at home.
Absolutely.
If you don't give them this experience when they get into the workplace, in fact, it's the one and the same experience that they expect to have.
Absolutely.
If you don't, it contributes to disengagement and to presenteeism, right?
Okay.
So I see
the flip side.
Well, I social media, you know, from a workplace perspective is potentially currently a threat for most businesses. They see it as a threat.
Mm-hmm.
When I see it as more of an opportunity. The one of the interesting things is when we chat to HR people about the social media and whether they should open it up, and they turn around and go, no, like we have a social media problem because people spend too much time on social media. And I go, no, the social media is not the problem. It's you have a terrible jobs problem. Like, people don't want to be working. If someone would rather
be
looking at clickbait videos on Facebook, then they're not engaged at work. And that's not Facebook's problem. That's your business's problem.
And just to say that, Craig, you know, being unproductive is being unproductive, whether you are on social media or not. You know,
or
what I mean?
Whether you're having coffee with a colleague waiting for the water to boil.
Staring at a wall. Because if you can't get onto Facebook and you don't do your job, you'll just stare at the wall, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not the problem.
Yeah.
What it is, though, it's an incredible opportunity if you're able to educate your employees and give them things to do that are of benefit to their jobs, to their work, to their careers, and of benefit to the business. Then suddenly people start going, oh, well, this is what I can do. It's interesting because there's, of the billions of people that are on Facebook and Twitter, etc., none of them take a course. You don't need to get a driver's license to go onto Facebook.
Yep.
You learn it by downloading it and starting to play. And
yeah.
And the problem with that is that you learn based on pre-existing behavior. So you learn how to use it based on how other people use it.
Okay, interesting.
And that is generally not going to be productive for a business,
okay.
Which is where the threat comes. If you can train your employees around a better, more efficient way of using social media or social media networks, how you can bring together 314,000 employees on the internet, then it's an incredibly powerful tool.
Ranjini, let's try and break down social media etiquette,
mm-hmm.
Creating those policies within those
yes.
organizations. Give it to us, girl.
So basically, when we look at social media, generally the employers who are really concerned about social media is actually smaller employers. Most of the larger employers have opened their doors to social media because they know that they can't really have any kind of employee interaction without that kind of a setup. So a social media policy then becomes very important. Firstly, because you need to clarify where the line is drawn. So firstly...
Is that easily implemented?
Not really. And that's why I say a social media policy should be an evolving policy. You kind of learn as the time goes. So maybe initially you start off with a one pager to say, you know what, be very careful about what you say on social media and please make sure that it doesn't have an impact on the employer.
Reputation.
Or the brand. Yes. But on the other hand, you know, please feel free to speak positively about the brand. You're most welcome to do that. You can start off with that. And then later you can, you know, be a little bit more clearer about speaking about, let's say, employee to employee. I mean, please don't bring in your personal issues into social media, you know, stuff that you have, stuff or issues that you have at work. Please don't bring it into social media. So you kind of clarify it as time goes by.
I mean, Gareth, just in the space of Cliff Central, I mean, how powerful is social media just as the Cliff Central brand?
Well, I mean, if you think about what we are, we're all online. So, I mean,
yeah.
Everything really is connected to social media. By the way, let's quickly talk about Cliff Central.
Okay.
So we're turning one.
Happy birthday. No, okay. Okay.
Yes, happy birthday to us. So here it is. Cliff Central's turning one, and to celebrate, we're giving away R500,000 worth of smartphones. It's quite an impressive
wow.
one. Wow. Yeah, wow. You can win just by listening out for the question on Cliff Central. So submit your answer on WeChat by tapping Connect, then Competition on the menu. Let me repeat that. Submit your answer on WeChat by tapping Connect, then Competition on the menu. If you want an upgrade or need a new smartphone, we'll hook you up with a Samsung Galaxy S4.
Ooh, nice, loving it, loving it.
So win with Cliff Central and WeChat for the month of April. Visit Cliff Central, cliffcentral.com for details. Terms and conditions obviously apply. Here's the question.
Okay.
Who does the sports on the Gareth Cliff show? So everyone, if you want to win a Samsung S4, sorry.
Can I answer?
Did you? Is it open to our guests?
No, unfortunately not. They can see the piece of paper, and they know, of course. But who does the sports on the Cliff Central shows, or the Gareth Cliff show, rather? We are going to be announcing the winner at the end of our show, so stay tuned and get your fingers moving. All right.
Should we continue?
Yeah, let's continue. And let's talk about the smartphone thing. I mean, people are on social media anyway, even if you're not allowing it in the office. What are your thoughts, Lee?
Well, that's the point I made earlier, right? It's a seamless experience in this day and age. You know, the experience you have at home, the intimacy, the fact that you can do your banking online on your phone, yet if you walk into a physical organization, there's manual forms to fill in and processes to follow. We want immediacy. I think just to go back to the previous point on the policy for a second, the policy can't be ready, set, tweet. It can't be that. We've got to give some kind of framework and what I call guardrails to protect us as a brand. There have been so many examples of how we can allow this in, but if those guardrails are not there, it promotes the wrong behavior. There have been disastrous consequences for global organizations. We've heard of a really bad one a couple of years ago where a South African abroad was coming back home, disastrous tweet about HIV.
We all know that story.
And it has just been landed.
And by the time
that's a question. Yeah? You can win a smartphone if you can answer.
And by the time the person landed, she'd been fired.
I know.
Right?
Absolutely.
And a disclaim had been made, right?
The exact same point. As an employer of an organization, I want to do a checkup on my, you know, candidates of a new job. That's exactly the first place I'll go to. What do you think about that,
so
Greg?
I have a bit of an issue with these HR policies with the social media side in the fact that they themselves aren't that helpful unless they're implemented correctly. Mm. You know, I mean, I get my guys at Cerebra to sign stuff all the time. Like, they don't read it. They don't care. They're just like, oh, do I have to sign this? Oh, yes. Okay, cool. Like, have you read it? Sure. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the same thing as you check into an airplane, the guy goes, and they go through the list of questions. You're just nodding. And then you get in the plane, right?
Yeah.
So the problem is that, like with the example that you used with Justine Sacco, right? The problem is that I'm not speaking to her character, but there are cases where you have incredibly high value employees who make mistakes based on ignorance. Now, a lot of social media policies focus on the what happens after the horse is bolted and the barn is burning, right?
Yeah.
Whereas I have a much higher belief in education. So you can't have a social media policy without having an education policy. You've got to be able to take employees through and go, guys, this is the relationship between your personal social profile and the business. This is how the two live together. This is what's acceptable. This is what's not. You've got to, employees have to demonstrate proficiency and understanding of what the different social networks are. They have to demonstrate proficiency in their understanding of the policy, etc., before they should be allowed access.
Mm.
And once they've demonstrated that, then sure, go wild, right? You're going to have a lot lower chance. But the vast majority of employees, when you say you can have access if you sign this form, well, okay, fine. I'll sign the form, right? And I don't believe businesses do enough. I think they cover their butts with a form, but they don't prevent, they don't actually inform behavior. They don't change behavior at all.
Ranjini?
I tend to agree and disagree. I'll tell you why. Most of the times people use social media for their own personal purposes. So to actually, I see the opportunity for an employer to educate employees to start using it for the benefit of the employer. But most of the times, employees like to keep it private. So there have been, we find people using social media on their phones rather than on their computers because they're worried that their employers are going to see what they're posting and things
like
that.
But there's still no separation, right?
Mm-hmm. Like, what do you mean, Craig?
So you, even though you're on your personal account, there's case law that states if one person knows that you work at a business, then it's deemed that everyone does. If you do something idiotic on your social profile, if you're inflammatory, if you're racist, if you're whatever it is, that will affect the business. At that point, you can't separate them. So an employee turns around and goes, oh, but I have a disclaimer that says these are my opinions are my own. Well, that's not valid in court, right? And you can turn around and go, well, it's my personal Facebook account. That's not valid, right? If you're employed by a business, that business is impacted by your personal account, right?
No.
And so one of the examples that I often give, when you look at listed businesses have to follow a whole lot of regulations that other businesses don't have to follow.
Correct.
Except only the highest level of executives are trained in understanding the Securities and Exchange Commission regulations, etc. They're the guys that have the Sarbanes-Oxley compliance or King III compliance. Only the senior level execs. Mm. And what happens is that you have a salesperson's PA puts a photo of champagne bottles onto Instagram and says, celebrating our biggest deal ever. But they do that during quiet period. And that's insider trading. People can trade off of that.
Yep.
Okay. Now, how does a PA of a salesperson know about insider training, SEC stuff?
Yep,
well,
good point.
Correct.
Through education.
Correct.
It has to be done.
Lovely.
So you don't have a thin layer of executive spokespeople at a business anymore. You have employees, and all employees are spokespeople.
I guess an important point is that every employee could become a brand ambassador.
Correct.
Absolutely.
If you use them for
correct.
That purpose. So if you hire them, say only 10 people are allowed to tweet, then the wrong things may happen. However, if we start to own the brand, or now own what we call the customer experience, then you have 300,000 or 10,000 or 50 guys doing the job that one person did. And if you're part of the employer mentality versus employee, suddenly the culture changes as well.
You've introduced something, and it's the perfect shift in the conversation. So let's start talking about the pros of social media in a workplace. Craig, you've just written an ebook about this. Just introduce. Let's introduce it that way. Tell us about the ebook.
So I wrote an ebook on the topic of employed media, which we see as a handy way of describing your collective employees' personal social profiles, mm-hmm. and how would you see that as a media asset? Because if you add up the reach of your employees and the relevance of it, because they work for you, right? If you add up their that social reach, it will generally far exceed that of the business. And yet we summarily ignore them in all our comms. You know, most employees are the last people to find out about things.
Yep. Yeah.
So I wrote an ebook, and at the center of the ebook, it states that if you put your employees first in your communication plans and you treat employees like brand advocates, if you treat them the way we treat influencers,
yep.
do desk drops, send them on trips, do nice things, earn some coverage, earn some exposure, as long as it's authentic, as long as it's credible, that's unbelievable value for your
such
business.
A powerful tool.
But you have to recognize, first and foremost, you have to recognize the value of your employees in your communication strategy.
Okay, very good point. Thoughts?
And Jeannie?
I think...
You're going to agree and disagree.
Yes, I... No. It's never a you know, white or black. It's just my concern is we are very far from that education space. I mean, you as a consultant, obviously you think on those lines, but employers are least bothered about you know, how employees are going to actually improve their brand. That's the last thing. I'll tell you why. Possible employees may not be friends of these employees, you know, or maybe it's fine, but it isn't of importance for me as an employer that, you know what is this? Okay, this guy might be saying something nice. Well, I will enjoy that. I will enjoy the benefit of that. But is he saying something negative? Then it's not really, okay, you know what? Everybody is unhappy at work. It's not just my employee. Every other employee will also have the same problem. So what I'm trying to say is from a brand perspective, I somehow feel we're very far away from that perspective of, you know, let's educate our employees to, you know, to create brand awareness. I just don't think we are there yet. But
Ranjini, just in a nutshell, does it bring productivity or not into the workplace?
I think it does bring productivity, okay, but that's purely because a person gets breaks and they, you know, use that time to go into social media. They just forget about work for a period of time. I mean, you know, general attention span of a person is 20 minutes. So when they go into social media and they do something there, they come back and
refreshed,
they start,
rejuvenated.
Yes.
So Lee, from that your thoughts?
Yes. If I had to add a chapter to Craig's book, and I'd call it What Do Employees Want? Yeah. I'd say they want four things.
Yeah.
They want transparency, accountability, collaboration, and engagement. This is key to them being happy. It's a well-proven point in any of the major countries that organizations are, right? So I would say very firmly against Ranjini's more negative point, that is a very positive that social media brings. We need to embrace it wholeheartedly. Put the guardrails around it, right?
Definitely.
Bring them in as brand ambassadors. Don't make it a thing you do. Make it who we are. It's a cultural element.
Okay, so here's then a question. What are the three most important questions that an employer must ask about his social media strategy or policy before he just opens it up to whomever is going to be using it?
I would say the first and most important thing is how much does social media affect my business? So, yes, if it does, fantastic. I mean, for an Accenture, I'm guessing, yes, you know, it would make a huge impact. Yeah. So, yes. But for another company in another, let's say, an FMCG kind of a situation, it might be a different scenario. But, yeah.
Great.
Does my business have the kind of culture and the kind of employees who would embrace the positive side of social?
Love that.
Or are they bored out of their minds?
Love that.
And would therefore use it negatively? That for me is the
generational
the big question.
Kind of vibe.
Big question.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. Lee, what are your thoughts around the question?
Yeah, being the techie in the room, by the year 2020, there'll be 50 billion devices connected to the internet. Right? This thing is happening. Don't ignore it, right?
Yeah.
So my view to my colleagues is if we aren't gearing up to be relevant in a digital world,
yeah.
aren't talking about this, then it's not going to happen. And we will be defunct, right? Like some of the blockbusters and many other companies have gone bust over the last few years.
Correct.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah?
Very good point.
It's interesting that these two men are speaking about social media because really, think about it, their jobs are dependent on it.
Explain what you mean.
Explain how us being men has...
No, let's say...
This just became a sexist argument.
No. I just...
I want to defend that. Okay, right? Yeah. So very quickly, part of my job is to help organizations be relevant in a digital world.
Correct.
This is what I do. Part of that is to live this and to breathe it on a day-to-day basis. It's far from us to give advice to clients, right, and organizations if we aren't part of this thing. It isn't a theory. This is who we are. This digital world isn't a futuristic thing. This isn't Mission Impossible 5. Yeah. It's now.
And just following on from that, our mission is to help businesses make social who they are, not what they do.
Love that.
Yes. Okay, very nice. Very, very good point. All right, we're coming to the close of our time with you, and it's been a great jam-packed show. Lubi, what do you think?
Can I just say something that I read, and I'm sure you're going to appreciate this, Lee? By 2020, social media literacy will be required of all employees. We have to keep up with this prediction. Failing to do so could mean missing out on the best talent these generations have to offer.
Very good point. Let's go around the room and just get a final thought from everyone. Lee, let's start with you. Final thought to our listeners who are out there. Some of them are managing teams. They're not allowing people onto social media. What do you say to them?
Well, to add on to what Kluvia has just said, everything we know today will be irrelevant 3 years from now, right? Yeah. So if you aren't gearing up to be relevant in this new world, you've already lost. You are going to close down a few years from now. So get your act together. Become relevant.
Okay. Ginny?
I sit with about 400, 500 students who don't still have access to social media. Mm. So for me, it's a very different perspective.
Correct.
And that's where I come from. So yes, social media has a huge impact on organizations and on workplace productivity. But I think looking at where we are, yes, 2020 is far away. So we sure might get there, but let's see where we are right
okay.
now.
Craig, a final thought.
So I think that if you're looking at how to take advantage of social media with your employees and you haven't opened it up yet, you don't have to see it as a right. You can make it a privilege.
Okay.
And making it a privilege allows you to build incentives that employees will behave correctly. It sounds like a horrible way to say it, but you can inform employee behavior by giving them access based on as a privilege and not a right.
Yep.
I love
very,
that.
Very nice. Thank you so very much for being on the show with us. We've really appreciated all your insights. Up next, guys, we are going to be talking to Albert Kruger on Startup of the Week, the Startup of the Week feature. He is the founder and CEO of Contemporary Events, and it's a really, really interesting business. Also, just a reminder, Cliff Central is turning one. Please go to WeChat to submit your answer. How do you do that? You can go to WeChat and then tap Connect and then Competition on the menu. And give us the answer to this question. Who does the sports on the Gareth Cliff show? You can win a Samsung S4. Of course, terms and conditions do apply. All right, we'll see you just after this.
They say, if you want to succeed, you have to go to school. If you want to be big and strong, you need to eat good. No matter what, there's nothing more important than family. There are so many children like me in South Africa that also don't have any of these things. If you could change this, would you?
By clicking a like button on Facebook, you can help get children from cradle to career with Africa Tycoon. Visit likechange.africatycoon.org.
It has been locked away from the eyes of the world. Chained, never to be released. But now, it wants to get out. Stay tuned to Cliff Central weekdays to find out how you can unleash the Jeep Renegade. Find hidden codes and videos posted by Jeep SA, and you could win Jeep Renegade prizes, as well as become the person to single-handedly unleash the Jeep Renegade upon the shores of South Africa. Are you renegade enough? Visit unleashrenegade.co.za to find out. T's and C's apply.
CliffCentral.com.